Makes the storms clouds, he gives showers of rain to men and plants of the field to everyone.
Praise the Lord. That's the best training anyone can get. There's not many churches or pastors will let a child share . Well, glory to God. The report. You may not believe what you hear. You may ponder it in your heart, but you'd better not cast it aside. Chew on it until you can digest it, because it'll set you on a higher road. Well, glory. It's my privilege to introduce to you Brother Frank Lopez. I've known him for a number of years. And we've had some real good experiences together, and some not so good. I want you to just stand to your feet and welcome the Christ that's in Brother Frank Lopez.
Greetings from my wife, Sister Rosa. She's recovering from an operation right now. And she needs our prayers. She sends her love. That's me. She is in close to Atlanta with our youngest son, who's been here for the last 5 years in the Atlanta area. Michael is 25. That's our youngest. And 25 years ago, we were having some of those good times together with Brother J.C., and we had a meeting in Lincolnton, Georgia. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Brother J.C. to prophesy over some people. And she comes to my wife and lays his hand upon her head and began to prophesy. The Lord says that he has undertaken the pain that is on your side. And she looked at me, and I didn't know that she was having pains. She said, I don't have any pain. I don't have no pain. What is he talking about? Well, we left without pain, but by the time we got to New York, Long Island, to have meetings, there was a pain that was coming on her on the right side. And it kept on getting unbearable until we got to Carterville on our way back, Illinois. There was another couple traveling with us. And one afternoon she said, "Sweetheart, take me to the emergency. I can no longer bear this pain." So I did take her to the emergency place, and they discovered that She was pregnant in the fallopian tube and on her side. And the doctors immediately said, wheel her into the operating room because this is about to burst. And Rosa has been a woman of faith and said, hold it. I don't doubt your diagnosis, but I want to give God a first chance. And they said, lady, you don't have a choice. You have to be operated immediately. And she said, well, call my husband. I was waiting in the waiting room, and they called me in, and they explained to me the situation. And they were talking to her and saying, lady, do you have other children? And she said, yes, we have three. Well, she said, they said, you better begin to look for someone to take care of them, because if you don't get operated, you have only 3 minutes once this thing is burst, 3 minutes, and you'll bleed to death. And she said, well, I might be back in the morning, but let me go and pray tonight. So we left. We have to sign many papers releasing the doctors from, you know, that they will not be responsible. We signed all the papers and went out, and the pain was hard. But during that night, during that time, the prophecy was reminded.
Yeah. Amen.
What gave her the strength to go through it was the prophecy that God had already had taken over. And the next day, she said, Frank, you and Jerry, stay here to fulfill your ministry, and Janie and I will go back to Comanche, Texas. We used to live in Comanche. And they drove 700 miles, and she went straight to the doctor that has delivered our two youngest sons. And she told him what had happened, and she said, well, I can see that the side is sensitive, but the baby has moved into the womb. And nine months later, Michael almost killed her. He weighed 9 pounds and a half. So that was some of the good times that we had together. And we really appreciate Brother G.C. This is the first time I did not know we separated for some years. We got in touch, came together in other places, but I never knew that this was here until this year, that Robert Rutherford, was that you, Rutherford? Yeah, brought me up here. Oh, we came with Craig, yeah, and we came to visit Brother G.C. and at his home, and we saw all this, and then he announced the convention. So I purpose to be here for a couple of days. I have to leave Saturday sometime on to another place in Georgia, but I'm glad to be here tonight.
Amen.
And it's good to see you all, and of course I don't presume, and I am not deceived, thinking that I can walk in the shoes of this great man to follow him in the ministry that he did this morning. But if we have been called by God into the ministry, we have a line that we need to share with you. And I didn't go to school to learn English, just a couple of years when I was a child. And I didn't go to school to learn Spanish. So what I speak is Tex-Mex. So So you really have to stay in the Spirit to get it. You have to stay in the Spirit to get it, because I don't speak the perfect English or the perfect Spanish. But I hope the Holy Spirit will do His work in giving you understanding of what we're saying. We do travel many countries in the world. We're traveling all the way to Argentina and Chile, all through Central South America. And there's a lot of people coming forth. Brother Jesse Ferguson and other ministry has been a blessing to us, to help us on our way to go and minister in those countries. In the month of July and August, we were in Peru and also in Ecuador. A lot of people are coming forth hearing this word that God is sending today. There is a present truth. Truth has been truth because truth is a man, but there is a present truth that God did not release in times past. But now He's finding some hearts and people that He can release that word to them. And so, because we believe we're at the very end of God perfecting another realm of His purpose.
Amen.
In His people. And so that's our message that we take to those nations. And I'm over 70 now, and I don't think that I'm going to retire. There's no retirement in this in this thing. In fact, I feel stronger than I felt 40 years ago. Stronger in spirit, in life, and I believe personally the commandment of the Lord and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world.
Hallelujah.
As a witness.
Hallelujah.
Unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So that means that there's got to be people from every nation.
That's right.
Every tribe.
Yes.
Living in kingdom life.
Yes.
Not only hearing a message, but living the life that Jesus actually revealed as a kingdom preacher. He preached the kingdom. And He lived the kingdom.
Amen.
And He said to you and to me that He was opening the way and giving us the keys of the kingdom.
Right.
That we may walk in that life.
Amen.
Is that okay with you?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
So there's got to be people in from every nation, from every kindred, tongue, in this that God is doing today. No nation is excluded.
Hallelujah.
But we all have to come through the same door.
That's right.
Through the same life.
Hallelujah.
Because He said, I am the way. Not on, not, He's not a way. He is the way. And He is the truth. He's not a truth, but He is the truth, and He is the life.
Amen.
He's not a life. He is. See, therefore, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. There's no other way that man can enter into what we heard this morning, the fullness of the Father. There's no way. You cannot ignore the Son and say, I have union with the Father.
Amen.
The Bible says, he that has the Son has the Father.
Amen.
It doesn't say he that has the Father has the Son.
Amen.
All those Muslims, oh, I hope there's no Muslims here. All those people
that are trying to get to the Father by another door, they're deceived.
Amen.
And this is why this aspect of God's work in this people is the most important aspect of God's work in the earth. Because through what God accomplished in you and this people now, He's going to open the way for all those that are totally deceived right now, thinking that they can get back to the Father ignoring the Son. The Son is the only way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Gloria a Dios. Somebody asked, the brother asked me to minister in Spanish. Maybe I do. I will. Gloria a Dios. Well, just to get started here, let me try to sing a song. Greg, can I use your guitar?
Yes, sir.
This song is, I don't sing it like the people, the man that I heard it sung. But I'll do whatever. I heard it on TBN. And the man that was singing it, it was a little bigger than GC. I mean, big man. I have heard that once a bird has a broken wing, it will never fly high anymore. Let me tell you what I know. It's not always so. Once I lay helpless and sore, I fell from above like a wounded dove, with no hope of ever climbing again. But with grace from above and God's marvelous love, I'm flying higher than I ever been. Higher than I ever been. Higher than yesterday's sin. Where eagles can't soar, I can see heaven's door. I'm flying higher than I ever been. All together, flying higher than we ever been. Higher than yesterday's sin. Where eagles can't soar, I can see heaven's door. I'm flying higher than I ever been. I fell by the way, life's wounded prey. Then old Satan, like a vulture, he swept long. In my darkest hour, that's when he came to devour what was left of my old wretched, my dying soul. And as low as life gets, God was not finished yet. His sin more good than I ever saw in me. Now I live above the doubts, so high in the clouds that I can't see the tops of the tree.
flying higher than I ever been, higher than yesterday's sin, where eagles can soar, I can see heaven's door. I'm flying higher than ever been, where eagles can soar, I can see heaven's door. I'm flying higher than ever been. Hallelujah! No doubt that, no doubt that, that some of us had broken wings, broken legs,
broken heads.
But God's grace and mercy, love, tonight we're flying higher than we ever been. Is none of us, but of Him. He is the one that is doing this. The greatest, most important aspect of God's work now, today, is perfecting Himself, His house, where He's going to dwell upon the face of the earth throughout eternity. Most of God's people wants to go to heaven somewhere, but God wants to come to the earth. But He cannot come to the earth to dwell unless He perfects His house. Once He finishes this house, it will be finished forever. God will never again will say, well, I made a mistake on this corner or in this part of the house. It would be the house of God, the dwelling place of God forever. And through that house, He will manifest the fullness of what He is. He's so big that none of us individually can contain Him. The heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. The heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot comprehend Him. He's so big. The heavens is His throne. The earth His footstool. So what house can you build to Me? That's why He's not giving you and I the test of building something for Him. I don't go to the nations thinking that I'm building something for God. And the reason it is because I don't know the fullness of His nature. So I don't know what kind of material I would get to put into the house. I get the wrong material. But He doesn't make any mistakes. This is why He is calling those that He knows He can work on them until all those things that defile will be taken out. Amen. Because His house must be comparable to His nature. Nothing in the universe is comparable to His nature. The heavens are not clean before Him. The stars, the moon, the sun is not pure before Him. Nothing that He created by the spoken created word is qualified to be His dwelling place. But He's chosen the lowest creation to exalt it to the highest order of life. Hallelujah. That you and I may be part of that house in which He's going to dwell throughout eternity. Hallelujah. Glory. You see, and this is why the thought even of going to heaven has left.
Yeah.
I want to go to heaven. I just want to stay here, yielding to Him until He will perfect that He ordained, because I know that His purpose is to perfect His dwelling place, His house.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is that okay?
No.
That's all right.
Now, I want you to open your Bible with me to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. It's a very familiar scripture, but we just want to start there. Hebrews chapter 9. Beginning to read in verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, when it was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary or the holy place. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, sharing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Now, if there's one thing that God wants to perfect in every one of us, is our conscience. As long as we live in two worlds, or we are double-minded,
that's right.
We don't have a pure conscience. It is very necessary for all of us to offer the right services that we may get a clean conscience. Otherwise, we will continue in the same place. But then he said, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers watchings and current ordinances, imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come in high priest of good things. You see, while Jesus was upon the face of the earth, he was not yet the high priest of the good things to come. He could only be qualified, as you understand the scripture, after resurrection.
That's right.
Now he is the high priest. And he has an unchangeable priesthood. Nobody can take his place. And we don't need anybody else to take his place. He is well able. So you see, Christ being come and high priest. Because you see, Christ died. Many people have never seen that. That Christ, the anointed of the Lord, died. And while he was dead, he himself could not be resurrected. But he had a promise of the Father. I will not leave your soul in hell, and I will not give your flesh to see corruption.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to raise you, and you're going to be the firstborn from the dead. The first one that is resurrected in flesh and bone that will never die again.
Amen.
Everyone that has been resurrected physically has died again. But we have one tonight that once he was resurrected, he never dies again.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He is alive forevermore.
Praise the Lord.
And that's why he has an unchangeable priesthood. Because death was the thing that killed the high priest. And God had to raise another one. But in our case, hallelujah, we have a priest that can never die. He has a priesthood that is unchangeable, you see. So therefore, being a mediator, which is a priest, and taking into him everything that the Father is, then he is well able to dispense into you and I everything that he has received from the Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's no lack in him, you see. Everything. So he has an unchangeable priesthood. Once he was resurrected, once he was a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither but the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption.
Amen.
And the word for us is in italics, meaning that it's not in the original. The word for us is not there. See, salvation is not something that Jesus did for you and I.
Amen.
I want you to hear that. Salvation is not something that Jesus did for you and I. Most of God's people are basing their eternal salvation on doctrines of the Bible.
That's right.
They believe that if they believe the right doctrine, they will end at the right place. You see, but nothing that Jesus did, you see, accomplishes your salvation. What Jesus did was for himself. He obtained redemption for himself. You see, so therefore, before the cross, before resurrection, there was no way that Jesus could become your salvation. Salvation is not something that Jesus did for you and I. Salvation is something that he is in you and I.
Amen.
This is the record that the Father, this is the record of the Father, that he has given us eternal life. And this eternal life is in his Son. He that has the Son has the life. He that doesn't have the Son, you see, God is going to narrow it to the place that Jesus must become alive, resurrected inside of you and I. No doctrine will fulfill his place in you and I. It's got to be his life. It is going to be him. Is Jesus alive in you today?
Amen.
You see, that's the question.
Hallelujah.
Most of God's people in the world are basing their salvation on what Jesus did.
Yeah. Right.
But none of those things save you. He died to reconcile the world.
Right.
He redeemed us by his blood. He purchased. But he saves us by his life.
Yes.
And his life that he's talking about, it is not the life that he lived while he was walking upon the earth. It is the life that he received after resurrection. So what you and I have tonight is Jesus is alive. You don't have a baby Jesus in you. In fact, you don't even have Jesus at the age of 30, and you don't have even Jesus when he's hanging on that cross. All those things were necessary. God the Father needed a human sacrifice in order to make the legal way by which man could come into the life of the Son of God. And Jesus paid that price, but he had to obtain redemption for himself before he could become redemption for you and I. He could be life for you and I. So therefore, for God so loved the world that he gave who? See, Jesus was not the begotten Son when he was born of Mary. He was born inferior to the angels. A little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. God cannot die. Angels don't die. But Jesus must partake of a nature that could be offered up as a living sacrifice. You see, and Jesus did it. He did it. So what you have inside of you is the life of the only begotten Son. See, this is why I don't go to the nations trying to tell the people God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. I don't tell God's people God loves you. You don't need me to tell you God loves you.
That's true.
The Holy Spirit has shed his love on our hearts. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you have the high priest inside of you, you don't need no one to tell you God loves you, because you have come to know, for God so loved the world that he has given to you and for humanity the only Son that has been begotten of the Father. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not. So there's two things that you don't have to worry about. You don't have to condemn no man. Our ministry is not a condemnation ministry. Because if the person is not living in the life of the Christ, Christ is not alive, they are already in condemnation.
That's right. That's right.
They're already being judged every day. In other words, their condition doesn't change. I don't know what would happen to them after, but you see, God did not send his Son to condemn the world.
Right.
But what I want you to know is that the Son that he's talking about that he sent was not baby Jesus.
Right.
It was not Jesus at the age of 30 when he appears by the River Jordan and submits to a lesser ministry than him. No, he's not even talking about Jesus hanging on the cross. He's talking about God sending his only begotten Son after resurrection.
Yes.
After resurrection, you see, he sent inside about 120 people the life and the spirit of the only Son that has ever bare the image and likeness of the invisible God. Hallelujah. And the church needs to be awakened to the reality of the Christ of God alive. Not in a doctrine, not in a teaching, not in a form, but in reality, the resurrected life of Jesus Christ operating in our life daily.
Amen.
He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not It's condemned already. You don't have to condemn him. Because he has not believed in the name of his only begotten Son. Most of God's people are believing in Jesus while he walked on the earth. That's not the name. There is a new name. When God the Father raised him from the dead, he gave him a new name. Hallelujah. And the name is synonymous of the nature. That means that when he was upon the face of the earth, he could be tempted in all points as men are tempted, yet without sin. He never yielded to sin. But after resurrection, he has a name that cannot be tempted. He has a nature that no man can tempt. This is why he's appearing the second time without sin unto those that are waiting for God to bring redemption in them. Hallelujah! And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love what? Darkness. What does that mean? It means that if you go out of these meetings without yielding your life, believing in the power of the resurrected Son of God inside of you, you believe more in darkness than light. The human intellect is darkness. And most of God's people needs to be delivered from their natural minds. See, we might have some theologians here tonight, but I don't know our doctrines in divinity and all this stuff. You see, with a big head, but that is, what did Paul call it? Some dung or something like that. Everything that he learned, everything that he that would gain for to him, he said,
dung.
Why did he say that? Because when he was touched or apprehended, there was a light greater than the sun at midday. It was 12 o'clock noon when the natural sun is radiating the fullness of its light, when there appeared a light greater than the sun. That's why his fuse is blue instantly. He was blinded instantly. Totally blind to every temporal visible thing. And he died blind. Not physically, for he was recovered physically. But you see, there was another set of eyes that were open inside of him. A light! Why go back to be a theologian and a doctor in divinity? Why go back to the letter of the word understandings? Why go back to the history of the scriptures? Why go back to this natural things when there is a light that God has placed inside of you that is about to explode in dimensions of divine light that has never been before? This is why from now on, don't expect this light to come from the outside. Amen. God has placed it inside of you. Oh, glory to God. It's inside there. It's inside of you. We have a more sure word of prophecy unto which, how's that? Unto which we must give heed unto, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. The darkness is not out there in the world. The darkness is in every one of us. I know that there's darkness in the world, but I'm not so concerned about the darkness in the world. What I'm concerned is that I would take heed unto that word of prophecy more sure as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arises in the heavens. No? Arises where? Right here, brother. See, it was not a spotlight on Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration. It was not a light from a cloud. Brother, Jesus said, walk it out one day at a time for 33 and a half years. And when he came on the other side, on the mountain of transfiguration, there was released from the inside of him the power of incorruptibility, the power of immortality, and express itself, and his face shined greater than the sun every day. Glory to God.